to have the five-year goal and look into when we last met around the issue of ICASA. But members, are there any issues around the ICASA amendment which you think that probably were not highlighted or were part of the issues we have dealt with? So that if there's anyone are able to iron them out now, so that when we adjourn, we know that we have dealt with the issue. Except the overnight of the EPA.
Chair, yes. Obviously, there are many issues that I'd like to take up on the clauses in the bills that were not discussed here, because you know, what we were dealing with was the list of changes that were asked for in Johannesburg. We were excluded from that. And so now I want to know that we'll be able to raise those now when we go through the bill now, when we get the sort of revised version of it on a clause-by-clause basis. So we will be raising other issues at that time.
Thank you, except that the issues we are dealing with now emanate from the meeting of 8 October, not the Joburg one. In the 8 October meeting, we will raise the issues, all of us, for them to respond into. So if there's an issue, we better deal with it now. If you've got issues which you think have not been raised, it's your opportunity, you can raise it so that we finish it and we are able to move forward. Honourable Sir.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sure of this one. I can't remember 100%, but maybe you also assist me another member. There was also an issue around the penalties. I'm not sure if it's included in the bill or what.
The issue of penalties and the increase of the financial, of the penalty fee, is it part of the bill? Aye. Maybe DOC, you see, you have so electronicalized yourself when you do like this, it's understood. We don't know what has been here.
Chairperson, the penalties were presented and you adopted them. And we were not asked to do any further work with respect to that.
Thank you. Honourable Stan.
Chair, I would also like to request that as a committee that we just relook at the penalties. I think they are excessive and it's going to be difficult to implement. And I think we need to be reasonable. So I'd like to, with the Honourable Tsebe, request that we just relook at that. And then if I may, Chairperson, I'm going to refer to the amendment bill, B18, page 9. And I'm referring to clause 20C3, line 30, page 9, line 30. Are you on the EC Act or the ICASA Act? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm on the ICASA Act. Yeah, apologies. Page 9, line 30. The suggestion here is that the minister be removed and that the amendment is subject to subsection 1B, the chief executive officer must table the annual report. The annual reports that I've seen, Chairperson, are generally tabled by the chairperson of the, if there is a board or a council. I know the chief executive officer does have a forward and things like that, but it's generally tabled by the chairperson, and this refers to the annual report that must be, if you look at 1B, which must then be tabled annually. So if I can have clarity on that, whether it's the chief executive officer that must table it, or is it in fact the chairperson?
Don't proceed, let's deal with that one. TTG?
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of that amendment was to align the ICASA Act with what is written in the PFMA. bearing in mind that the CEO is the accounting officer. So section 40 of the PFMA provides in section 1, the accounting officer for a department, trading entity or constitutional institution, and in the PFMA, ICASA is listed as a constitutional institution, must, in the case of a constitutional institution, submit to Parliament that institution's annual report and financial statements and the Auditor General's report on those statements. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Sir. That is between you and them. Is that what you raised?
I accept that. It just means that probably to date it has been wrong because, again, if memory serves me, they are generally tabled by the Chairperson. But I'm quite willing to accept that, it's in here. Then, if I may, I've got another question on page 10, line 5. It's just something that I want to raise. Generally, or not generally, but there are instances where a complaint is referred to the Complaint and Compliance Committee that involves ICASA, where perhaps a service provider is in disagreement with ICASA. And this committee must then make a ruling. And I'm wondering if it is correct for the authority to then establish this committee. Would there not be a conflict of interest there if, you know, you're establishing a committee that must at some point hand over judgment where you are involved, and whether one shouldn't re-look at that, that it must be somebody other than the authority that must establish the committee.
What happened if the complaint is involving a cut?
Chairperson, when we presented to you in Johannesburg, we actually gave you consideration on the issue. In fact, in the original drafting, we proposed that for the same reasons that Honourable Steyn is raising, the committee, initially we said in the bill, must be established by the minister. And we were told that the minister is encroaching on the independence of ICASA. But there's this reality that is being raised here. We had thought, Chairperson, and we since did away with that because at that point we were also proposing a complaints and compliant commission. So we have since abandoned that concept. But it might be something that you want to consider in terms of in consultation with yourselves to be the safeguard mechanism. But there are those realities. In any case, the members who serve in the CCC may actually serve under a oath where they are actually, when they apply themselves in those matters, they are actually not seeing themselves as councillors of the castle or something like that. So that is another issue. But there is that reality that we had also observed that the castle had made that a submission to the department that this is actually one of the problems. But in practice, Chairperson, we are not necessarily seeing that therefore someone does not want to go to the CCC because of these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. I remember on the original amendment it was there, but most of the submissions it didn't support. But it was also changing the structure into sort of complaints and compliance commission, moving away from the current setup and so on. And others felt that is a matter which probably Mr. Chomjwa, among other things, must be seized with because it might change the structure from just a mere CCC into a commission, established commission, which is going to be delinked also to the regulator, not to be under the auspices of the regulator, for the reason which I raised that sometimes you are dealing with a complaint involving the regulator, which appoints you, and all those other things and so on. So that's how the motivation of omitting NAFIT at this juncture for further work and so on. honourable.
Chair, I'm going to need guidance from the department probably here, because we've gone through some of these amendments so quickly that what I'm going to raise now may very well have been addressed. I'm referring to page 11, line, I think it's line 11. In the amendment bill, and again I'm just referring to B80, not to A, in the A version, it's proposed there that after an investigation into the complaint has been carried out, be deleted. Is that still the case? Because the reason I'm asking this is, I would want to see that remain in the bill, because the Complaints and Compliance Committee doesn't have investigative powers. So once a complaint has been referred to them, they're not going to investigate the actual complaint. They will make a ruling based on the merits of the case. So it is my contention, Chairperson, that the ICASA's investigators must obviously investigate. Then they submit or refer to the CCC together with the investigation. So I'm just a little bit concerned that there's not going to be enough information for the CCC to make a ruling if we remove after investigation, because obviously a complaint must be investigated first. So if I can get clarity whether that remains or whether it has been taken out. And it also links to, on page 9, line 31, where the complaint concerns a person who is not a licensee, that the authority may then lay a charge against that person with the appropriate authority. Now, if they lay a charge with SEPS, for example, again, it's my contention that probably SEPS won't have the technical expertise to investigate. And in any case, for ICASA to make a charge, they have to investigate what their complaint is in order to formulate the charge. So, and again, what I find there is a lack of the authority first investigating it before they lay in a charge, pretty much like before they have to refer to the CCC.
If ICASA was sitting next to me, Chairperson, I was going to seek some support at this point in time. But be as it may, Chairperson,
You can call them. Dr. Masa?
What is your view as members, once we are waiting for them? Honourable Sir?
I have a proposal that says, it's not overnight. That says, Chair, let us pose all questions that we want to pose to Jews, and then we give them 10 minutes to come and respond to those questions.
Honourable Kaka?
Yes. Chair, going along with the survey, a slight addition is that on the one of penalties, would suggest we retain it as it is, because the motivation we're given, I think, suffice even for now. I think we can survive. The motivation was that the penalties before didn't seem to be effective. Service providers didn't feel it. That's why they kept on repeating the same offenses. It is 2 million. The opinion was that they think it will serve as a deterrent. As a deterrent, then they'll be afraid to commit the offense. So the as you remember, we deliberated for a long time, and ultimately we were convinced that yes, this will be effective. Unlike if you make it light, people just do because they hardly feel the penalty. So if it bites, then it serves as a deterrent. So yes, it is.
Honorable Morotua, then Honorable Chin.
Dr. Desson, it's on the time that you've suggested. I think 10 minutes is too little. If people are going to pose more questions above the ones that they've already, I think 10 minutes is too little. But it must be done before 6 o'clock.
Thank you, Honorable Shin.
Listen, there are obviously then questions that I want to ask on both the ACOSTA amendment and the ECA amendment. So I'll start with that, if I may.
Just one, Honorable Shin. Let's deal with the questions for the ACOSTA.
Okay.
I'm not sure that Honorable Shin is done with his questions. If not, probably just to give him, then I'll come back to you.
Okay.
But we'll deal with the ACOSTA, and then we'll see how to take the Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. As it happens, I am done, and I wish to thank you for having given me the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chair. On this is the cost amendment, page 6, section 7, starting from, I suppose, line 45. I just wanted to query.
Honorable Shin,
yeah?
Have you ever noticed that you are too fast?
No.
When you speak, you can proceed.
I can put some of my colleagues on to you, you'll never understand what they say. right, page 6. Page 6, what did I say, section 7. Starting about 45. This is about councillors who are appointed on a part-time basis. I just wanted to query which councillors would have time to be appointed anywhere on a part-time basis, and should that even be allowed? Because they earn a hefty salary, or we'd assume that they'd be working 14 hours a day anyway at their council job, let alone being paid somewhere else. And I would just sort of like some clarity on how that aligns with King 3, if that is allowed, or what are the norms there. Then on page 8, section 14, concerned about 14AA. The authority may appoint as many experts as may be necessary with a view to assisting the authority in the performance of its functions, whatever. But any appointment of experts which is not within the budget of the authority for a particular year is subject to the approval of the minister. I think that that's particularly onerous. Sometimes these, if it's not within the budget, I mean, one wonders how big these people's sort of tenure is going to be. But I mean, that surely imposes an incredible time lag in perhaps securing critical skills. And if we're going to sort of have the minister dither for 6 or 7 months, that valuable skill might well be lost. It also takes away from ICASA the independence that it needs to make appropriate appointments as and when it finds it necessary. Then on page 9, section 18, checks drawn by the, section 18.4, checks drawn by the authority must be regarded to have been duly issued under the joint signature of the accounting officer and another member of staff or the councillor, or of the authority designated by the councillor. I mean, is this legal in terms of the PFMA? Because I would tend to think that, you know, it's a councillor isn't responsible for the accounts, for the finances, day-to-day operations of the councils, I mean, of the part of the authority. So I'm not sure whether that is legal. That was page 9, section 18.4. I also had a problem with the annual report because it's really, you know, and I understand the issue of the aligning it with the PFMA, but I mean it's the council chair who reports to Parliament in terms of the Act. Wondered what that was about. Sure, I think those are the main ones. Thank you.
Thank you. Diwasi, do you have the issues? But the issues as they are raised, they are not for you only, are they for the committee? Probably I'll start with the members, whether they have input on the issues raised by the members before you could come in. Members?
No, Shana, I thought, Chair, I don't know. I thought you'd give Honorable Shin an opportunity to deal with her questions on the issue of the if and then will come. I'm not sure, Chair.
Okay. No, it's fine. We can still do that. I just wanted us to conclude on the ICASA. Remember that you also suggested that probably if they can't answer immediately, give them some time. To check for the responses. You suggested 10 minutes or so. Honorable Rutwa saying 10 minutes is nothing as long as everything happened before 6 and so on. So probably let us conclude on the ICASA, then we'll give Honorable Shin to raise his aims so that as they work, they can respond on it. Is that permissible?
Chair, unless I don't understand you. I thought we'll deal with both ICASA and ECA so that when they break, they deal with the two at once. So that they don't break for ICASA, they respond, they went back and break for the ECA. So not my proposal is that let us deal with them because it's just questions or clarity. So when they break, they'll deal with both the bills and come back, then we'll take them one by one. And so that's my proposal. I don't know.
Okay. That's fine. Diwasi, just look at the ICASA amendment issues raised and see whether which issues you can respond on to now and which one probably need to do some further work but before 6. Probably afford Honorable Shin to go to the ECA as she has also indicated that she's got question also on the ECA. I'm not sure whether that Honorable Stein will trigger you also to have some question in the ECA. But what I'm saying, members, is that as they are raising the question, Honorable Sir, as they are raising the question, they are not raising it to DOC. They are raising to us as a committee to respond and engage on the issue so that we find each other on the issue. Honorable Shin, ECA.
Richie, may I just have some moments to actually just refocus myself here? If you give me a couple of moments, please.
Honorable Stein is ready. Can proceed. 1838. Probably, if they are still pledging for the issues, DOC and members, we can engage on the issues raised under ICASA. Hopeful that they will recover. Honourable sir.
No, sir. On the issues as raised by Honourable Shee, starting with the page 8 and 9. I've been noting them here. Because the other one that the Honorable Shin has asked a question on, already Honorable Shin has posed a question on it. And I think DOC had already clarified. It's in regard to who must present the report before the portfolio committee between the CEO and the chairperson. I think DOC has already responded on that issue. But Chair, from my side, not speaking on behalf of anybody, sometimes from my side it will be difficult because if my memory serves me well, these are the issues that we dealt with. I don't remember what was the date, but we have dealt with these issues and agree on the issues that we have been dealing with before. So in essence, Chair, what I'm saying is that one of my next notes here, from where I'm sitting, I agree with what is contained in the bill before us because I participated then on what is proposed before us, and I agree. Like Honorable Kaikana was highlighting on the issue of the penalties, and I was just checking whether it's there or not. But I also agree that all the things that are contained here, Chair, without naming 8, 14A or what, that I contributed, I participated, and I agreed, I supported that all these issues must be contained as they are. Thus far, in terms of the issues that raised by another machine, I don't see any contradiction on what I have confirmed by them in the meeting. So I still concur that I agree with the bill as it is routine currently, Chair. Thank you.
DVG?
No, Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, we have presented these issues to the Honorable Committee, and I mean, in terms of page 6, this is the proposal that we have, Chairperson. In fact, the possibility of having a councillor who is part of...
just on DDG, Honorable Moroto.
Chairperson, maybe I don't know, maybe I'm quite confused. I don't understand what DOC engaged in now, because I thought that we said we are going to allow them to deal with all these questions for 10 plus minus 10 minutes, and that's why I indicated. I don't know what they are doing now. What are they doing? Responding to what, Chairperson? If they are ready, then let us cancel the issue of the 10 minutes. What are we doing exactly?
The issue was Honorable Stein and Honorable Shin, they raised the issue around the ICASA amendment. Then Honorable Tswebe suggested that they must proceed also raise issues around the ECA. After they finished the ICASA amendment, Honorable Shin was not ready at that time, and Honorable Stein to proceed to the ECA because we wanted to do it jointly. I then said probably once they were looking to their issues, if DOC is ready on the issues, they can respond on the ICASA one. But probably if Honorable Shin now has recovered on the ECA issues, we can go back, Honorable Rutwa, as we are saying, to dispose of the ECA question so that we go back to our original issue. It was just to try to shortcut the second, Honorable. Honorable Shin, you seem to be ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is the ECA amendment, page 5, section 3, B4. On point 4, the authority or the agency of the case may be exercising its powers and performing its duties in terms of this Act, and the related legislation must consider policies made by the Minister. Surely that should be may. They don't have to, surely. The ICASA has its own policy generating issues, but I mean they may consider. Is there any reason why that was there? Then on page...
Which section is this? Page 5?
Page 5, section 3, B4. Okay. Then the next one is on page 6, but it starts at the bottom of page 5, which is the same section, D, where it talks about if it is reasonable and justifiable in the circumstances as contemplated under the PUDGA, the Minister may depart from the time period specified. I find that a little ominous because it could lead to bureaucratic foot dragging, and I feel that there should be some time period specified. I quite agree with that. And I would actually like that section deleted, that's D10, because there needs to be swift settlement of these issues. So I would like that, I would like it dropped, but I'd like some explanation of that. Then on the same page, section 4, 4B5. 4B5. Yeah. The authority must not less than 30 days prior to, before making regulations, inform the Minister in writing of its intention and provide the Minister with a copy of the proposed legislation, regulations. I would like that dropped because I don't believe that this is the Minister getting involved in what is basically a technical issue that ICASA should be handling on its own. We've already dealt with some of those. Yes, on page 9, section, substitution of section 6, 21 on page 9, guidelines for the rapid deployment of electronic facilities. Now, the Minister must, in consultation with the Minister of Traditional Affairs and all these other people, have negotiations on access to land. Is there any need to really get involved with national government issues here? Particularly these are local and provincial competencies, basically. And to actually involve national government in this, to me, sounds a bit too bureaucratic, particularly as one of the major issues is getting infrastructure laid. I mean, it takes for years to get this done. And I would suggest that we actually don't need to include national government in that. That we've done. Yes, getting ICASA involved in advertisements. This is page 13, section 55. What are we talking about? Yeah, the control over advertisements. Really, ICASA can't actually handle its own work right now, and I want to know why they feel that you know, when there are other vehicles for checking up on content of advertising and that, that, you know, there really should be not to CASA's job to get involved in the content of advertising. Then, oh no, that's the issue. The National Broadband Council, has that been removed? I seem to think that had been pushed off to the policy review.
Which page? Which page?
Sorry, 16. Insertion of Section 72A, the National Broadband Council. Because I think that should actually be going towards the policy review committee to have a look at. And also what, you know, because I mean, is there any cost here? Is there any impact assessment of what that'll cost if it's going to be pushed through now? Okay, that's been changed. There was, yeah, this was 88. Is on page 22, section 89, clause 42, point 4, the agency must collect all money that is due and payable to the Universal Service and Access Fund from the authority. I think that is, I'd like to know why that's necessary, because I mean, ICASA is the one who is involved with giving the awarding the licenses and getting in the license fees, and so one would think that they could that should be, and also, you know, and maybe one's coloured by the performance and the lack controls that are at USASA, that I don't think USASA has the ability to determine and collect the fees. And I think that should be the job of ICASA. You know, it goes to the National Revenue Fund. I really don't think that USASA should have anything to do with it. Basically that's my stuff there. Thank you, Jim.
Another thing.
Thank you, Chair. You'll be glad to know that I've largely been covered by the Honourable Sun. I have one issue though that I know I'm...
That's how you always start.
I've just had one issue, Chair, that we have discussed already that I would just like to raise, and that is the definition of common carrier. I have no problem with it as it is, but we've to date tried to avoid naming... It's page 3. It was also in the presentation that was done, but it's page 3 and it's line 16 to 18. So it's clause F on page 3 of the ECA. Largely, I think in legislation we try and avoid naming in the definitions an entity. In the event that entity's name will change, it may no longer exist, etc. And I'm basically asking here, should we in fact name Sendak, or is there another way of putting this definition without specifically naming them? Because if in a year or 2 years' time or whenever they no longer exist for whatever reason, then this, you know, one would have to come back to change this. Thank you, Chair.
And what is your suggestion? Honourable Sir,
I don't have a specific suggestion. All I'm saying is that, to my knowledge, legislators have avoided where they can in definitions, and even in the Act, to name entities specifically. So whilst there's no problem with the definition, it's correct, that CENTEC does do that. I'm just wondering if there's a way of us formulating this definition without physically naming CENTEC.
Thank you. Okay. Honourable Thurman, I will come back to Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On page 3, on the same issue raised by Honourable Stein, I think it explains itself there. Currently, CENTEC is a state-owned entity now. And maybe when you cross that bridge, you know what to do, since Honourable Stein also doesn't have a recommendation. Or else, Chair, we can say, while DOC in that 10 minutes must just check if it legally sounds. If it's okay legally, I won't see any reason of removing it. Let us just check the legality part of it. And on page 6, 5, on page 6, on the amendment of section 4, number 5, I just want to check the consistency in terms of saying 30 calendar days. I remember there was somewhere where we were just saying 30 days. Here you are saying 30 calendar days. But generally, Chair, my contribution in all these other issues that raised by Honorable Shin, not that there is any problem with what she raised, but I'm having a problem that if you look into all the issues that raised by Honorable Shin, it's where there's a minister. And Chair, I don't think it will be surprising for Honorable Shin, where there's a minister, then she might have a problem. It's not surprising, that's been expected, Chair. But to say again, Chair, this matter where the minister responsible is highlighted, it was also thoroughly dealt with at the level of public hearings. That is why I was saying, at one instance, we were saying to the people who came for presentation that they were allergic, it seems they are allergic to minister, but the Honorable Shin is also allergic to the word minister. And I don't think there's anything wrong, Chair. Maybe let's allow DOC to give explanation, because some of us, we had an opportunity, because we attend, you see. So we had an opportunity, those questions were raised, and they were clarified. And I can also assure you, Chair, that most of the things as raised by Honorable Shin, we raised by ICASA there. And on the last day of the public hearings, DOC responded on all these issues. So, but Honorable Shin, unfortunately, was not there. Let us give DOC an opportunity to respond. Maybe Honorable Shin will understand after that. But I'm saying again, Chair, I participated on these issues. And I have agreed as they are stated there, Chair. I don't see myself today to say no, unless I'm convinced otherwise after the further input by DOC after their 10 minutes. But for now, I'm still saying, Chair, I've participated on this matter and I'm comfortable as we have debated this issue lengthy, so Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Probably we are at the point where we must give them the time to look into the issues. But like I've said, that even if they come back and respond, it's our issues which we need to engage with as members and take final decision around that. The other issue is that state law advisors and the rest, as they're discussing, can you also ascertain the correctness of whatever legal, as Honorable Sebe was raising. There's an issue which just raised in passing, where checks, signing of checks, include a concept to sign a check. Just also look into that matter, whether it's desirable that the counselor, or it's counsel or counselor must sign checks and so on.
in terms of financial accountability and the other things and so on, just to check on that so that also legally we are sound. It's like saying a board member must sign check. It might be a very dangerous thing to do, but maybe we have not seen it, captured it very well and so on. So members, is your 10 minutes, 15 minutes okay, DOC, to deal with the issue?
Okay. It's just a comment, Chair. It's just a concern anyway, but then it's an internal comment that maybe in future, I will also not bother to attend any activity of the committee. And the way we are so named today, giving other members of the portfolio committee an opportunity to take us back, I think you will also do that to some of us. Because honestly, Chairperson, all this that has been DOC has responded, Chairperson. So I'm not saying they must not respond. I'm just saying that in future, because sometimes when it's asked, Chair, you'll say, Honorable Sebe. So I'm just saying, I don't have any problem, but it must be recorded, Chair, that DOC, in the past meetings, they have responded to all these issues. And it doesn't mean that if I was not part of the meeting, that means I'm not part of the decisions taken by that meeting, Chair. Thank you.
You see, Honorable Trevor, you are putting me in a very difficult position. Because this is what was supposed to happen procedurally. When a member raises an issue, we're supposed to debate it ourselves as members and finalize it. I think the issue of going back to a DOC is an issue which you just upgrade yourself. But procedural was that page 6, section 7, first matter raised by Honorable Sheen. We debated as our members and move forward, and so on. But because they are here to provide the backup and the support, that's where the issue is that, you know, let us give them that opportunity to respond and so on. But as I've been saying, that the process now is no longer like DOC has to justify anything. The matter is out of their hands with us to deal with each and particular clause amongst ourselves, and debate and agree or disagree about that and so on, then we move and finalize that. But we have agreed initially that we'll give them their 10 minutes or so, unless members want to renege from that, but I think that's what we agree to do that. But I take your point in what we have agreed. DOC, is your 10 minutes going to be fine? We've been giving you 10 minutes for the past 20 minutes, huh?
Yes, sir.
No, it's fine. You can just look into that. But like I'm saying, that are the matters which as our service members going to engage and agree or not agree on them. Not yourself. Thank you. You've got your time. It's around 22. Let's start at 10 or so for your response.